Daf Yud Amud Aleph, 10 lines from the top. Rav Nachman, Rav Chisda, Diamri Chavayu, Hamagbiya Mitzil Chaviro, Lokon Chaviro. This is the opinion that a person cannot lift a Mitzil, an ownerless object, and be Zocha on behalf of someone else. We'll see that there's another opinion of Rabbi Yochanan later on, my Taima. Havi tofes lebalchov b'mokum shechav l'achirim. V'atofes balchov b'mokum shechav l'achirim lo kana. We're talking about a case where a lover borrowed money from a number of different individuals, and each malva would like to collect his debt. The lover doesn't have the funds to pay, and each malva would like to confiscate some of the properties, some of the possessions of the lover in lieu of the loan. Somebody comes along and he wants to act on behalf of one of the particular malvim, his best friend, his buddy, and he wants to confiscate some possession, some property of the lova on behalf of that particular malvim at the expense and the detriment of the other malvim. And the law is that lo kana, meaning a person cannot set himself up when there are many people who are vying for the same object as the decisor to be zoch on behalf of one particular person to the exclusion of others. The Gemara wants to apply the same logic to a case of Mitzia. The object is ownerless. There are many people who are vying for this. Everybody in the world has an equal share, an equal schus to pick up this object and acquire it from his own. Someone cannot come along and say, well, I'm going to decide, I'm going to acquire it on behalf of someone, to the detriment of the others. Again, if it wouldn't have been Chav L'Acherim, if Ruve wants to be Zoch on behalf of Shimon, and no one else loses it, even if Shimon did not appoint Ruven as his Shliach, Ruve nevertheless could operate on behalf of Shimon. As long as, again, there's no loss to Shimon nor to anyone else. For example, let's say the Malva is going to lose his money if this guy Levi is not Tofes on his behalf. Let's say the Malva is Reuven, the Lov is Shimon. Shimon is a Goses, he's about to die. And the law is, after his death, you're not allowed to collect Metaltalin from the Yorshim. Or let's say in a case where Shimon is the Lova and he is very careless about his Nechasim, his Mevazbeis, he loses them, he wastes them away. There's a very good solid chance that Reuven the Malva will never be able to collect his Chov. There's an urgent need to stop up this Hefseid before it gets out of hand and be Zoch on his behalf. Can someone, Levi, come along? And in that case, there's only one malva, and there's a pseida to the malva if Levi doesn't act on his behalf to take from Shimon's possessions on behalf of Reuven the malva. Now, according to one school of thought, which is attributed to the Rashba and the Rosh, there was a takonas chachamim that allows Levi to be tofes on behalf of Reuven the malva in a case with this pseida, and it's not chav lachrini. And the reason why we needed this Takanas Chacham is because the Lova, we'll call him Shimon, turns to Levi, this third party, and he says to him, La Baldvarm Didiat, you have no right to come and confiscate my property, get lost. I don't know you, I don't recognize you, you're not a Baldover. The Rush, on the other hand, says that if it's not Chav L'Acherim, then we don't need a Takanas Chachamim to justify that Levi could be Tofes on behalf of Reuven the Malva, because since it's only to the benefit of Reuven the Malva, that's called Zochin the Adam Shlo B'Fanav. We don't need a takana for that. That's Iker Adin. And again, it's not called Chav L'Acherim. You might say it's Chav for the Lova, but the answer is the Lova in this case admits that he owes the money. Or for example, the Malva, let's call him Reuven, has a Shtar Chov, and the Shtar is Mekuyam. There's no way now that Shimon the Lova could deny the Chov. So it's crystal clear that the money is owed to Reuven the Malva. It's also clear there are no other Malvim that are vying for these Nechasim. It's also clear that the Malva will take a loss unless somebody urgently is Tofes on his behalf. So there are two approaches as to why that would operate. If it's not Chav L'Acherim and it's a Pseidah for the Malva, if you don't grab, either because of a special Takonis Chachomim, that's Mafkia, the Lova's right to say Labal Dvarim D'Diyat, or according to the Rosh, based on the universal principle of Zochel Yodim Shlo B'Fonav. But either way, the reason why Rav Nachman and Rav Chisda are going to block the ability of one person to be Zochen and Metziah for someone else is based on this principle of Tofis Abal Chov, B'Mokom Shechav L'Acherim. There are other Malvim that stand to lose through this Tfisa. And again, keep in mind, Levi as a Tofis, who wants to operate here on behalf of Reuven the Malvim, is not a... He has no koach, he has no shaychus to this, to these Nechasim, to this Salva and this Chov. There would be a possibility if Levi, for example, would be Zoch on his own behalf, then since he could be Zoch on his own behalf, he could be Zoch on behalf of his friend. He has a Shaychus. And even if it would be Chav L'Acherim. Now what that means is that in this particular case, Levi is a nobody. He has no shaychus whatsoever to this mamon. And even if Reuven the Malva, on whose behalf Levi wants to be tofes, would appoint Levi as a shliach, Rashi Dibraska Lo points out it would not operate. Tosfos, on the other hand, says that what shlichus does is it basically transfers from the mshaleach through Minui to the Shliach, all the powers of the Mshaleach. And therefore, just as the Malva himself, we call him Reuven, could be Zochi, could be Tofes, Nechasim on his own behalf from the Lova, so too Levi, as an appointed Shliach of Reuven, is now standing in the shoes of Reuven, and he can be Tofes. But in any event, we have Halachi of Tofes V'alcho B'mok V'shechav L'Acherim Eino Kona. Whether that applies even if the Malva, on whose behalf the person is being Tofes, appointed the Tofes as his Shliach or did not, that's a subject of debate. According to one school of thought, as we said before, and that is the Sheet of Tosfos, this is beyond the purview of Minui. Shliach would not work. The yad of the shliach is not exactly the yad of the mshalech when it's chav l'acherim, and a shliach can only be zoch on behalf of the mshalech when it's not chav l'acherim. But the Rosh disagrees, because the Rosh looks at our Mishnah, the rochev in our Mishnah sent the person who's walking on the ground on his behalf to do a hagbah, and the Gemara says that becomes Tofes of Al-Chob Mokum Shechav L'Acherim. You see, says the Rosh, that Tofes B'Mokum L'Bal-Chob Mokum Shechav L'Acherim is inoperative even if he meant him, if the Tofes was appointed as a Shliach. But as I said before, Rashi is outspoken that if the Malv had appointed this Tofes as a Shliach, the Shliach, the Tofes now becomes an extension, a replacement, standing as it were in the shoes of the Mishaleach, of the Malva, and he is capable of doing Tfisa, and it's a valid Tfisa. That would be okay. But in our case, we don't have, the Tofes is not an appointed Shliach. The Shach is famous in Choshev Mishpat Siman Kuf Hei. He says that the Mishnah is not a proof. The Rosh had invoked our Mishnah of Rochev as a proof, and therefore disproof against Rashi, that Tofes from that Mishnah, you see, even if he's appointed a Shliach, doesn't work. Says the Shach, for sure, Shlichus to be tofes would not operate. What Rashi has in mind is that had he, the tofes, been paid, had hired as a shliach, he's a paid shliach to grab the nechasim, that would work. And the Shachir invokes a sugi that we're about to learn called Yad HaSocher Ki Yad Balabais, a special halacha that a hired laborer is considered an extension and fully replaces and represents the Balabais who's hired him. That's the case that Rashi has in mind. And in the case of our Mishnah with the Rochev there, he did not hire, pay someone wages to pick up the Mitzi on his behalf. In fact, we'll soon see that he was very clandestine about it. He didn't even tell the person on the bottom that that's a mitziah. Eisvei Ravler of Nachman. We have a braisa that says mitzias poel liatzmo. That means that if you're paying a poel, and he, the poel, during the course of his work, on behalf of the Baal Bais, finds an onerous, a lost object of mitzia, then he lifts up the mitzia on his own behalf and he acquires ownership on this mitzia. Now again, the Baal Bais owns the hours of the poel. If it takes some sort of period of time in which the poel has to be osek with this mitzia in order to acquire ownership on it, and during that period of time he obviously diverts his attention from the malacha, then that period of time will be calculated and will be subtracted from the payment to the poel. But in any event, the poel is zocha in this mitzia from self on his own behalf. When is that so? Bizman sha'omelo balabayis nakesh imi hayom Ador imi ayom. If the Baal Bais paid him as a poel for specific work, he singled out exactly what jobs he has to do on his behalf, then in such a case, the lifting of mitzia is not included in the schiris poel. The poel is operating on his own behalf, not within the context, the framework of his pius. Avol omar lo ase imi malach hayom. If the agreement was that the poel worked for the entire day on behalf of the Baal Bais, that means any malach, it's not specified. He's not singling out Nikush or Idur. He's telling him, I own you, so to speak, for the entire day. That includes any malach that you can do. That would be meaningful on behalf of the Baal Bais. Included in that is Hagbas Mitzios. And the assumption is, if I'm not mistaken, that there was no need for the Baal Bais to specify Hagbas Mitzios. He said, Asei imi malach hayom, do whatever you can today, during the course of the day, on my behalf. And therefore, Mitzioso shall Baal Baisu. If in this case of Asei imi malach hayom, the poel picks up a mitzia, he acquires it on behalf of his Baal Bais. This proves that a person can be zochin mitzia on behalf of someone else, and we're not going to apply the principle of tofes lebal chov v'mok pshechav lachrina lokana. Amalei Rav Nachman responds, shani poel is different to yodo ki yad balabayisu. There's a special halacha in the case of a poel hired as a worker that his yad is equivalent to the yad of the balabayis, an extension of the yad of the balabayis. In other words, he's kanui, gufo kanui lebaal bais, for that time of schirus. And just like the Baal Bais could be zochin mitzia on his own behalf, despite the fact that others would have loved to get a chance, a shot at this mitzia, so too, the poel, insofar as he's been hired and he's yodo kiyad Baal Bais, he could be zocha in the mitzia on behalf of the Baal Bais. Just to reiterate the point we made earlier, many Rishonim, as opposed to Rashi, hold that Tofis of Balchov doesn't work even if the Tofis was appointed by this Malva as a Shliach. And those Rishonim would be Moda that although the appointment of a Shliach would not allow shliach to be toface on behalf of the Baal Bayis to the expense and the detriment of the other malvin. But in this case, they would be moder once the shliach is being paid. He's a hired worker. Then he could be kone on behalf of the Baal Bayis, even though it's chav lachrina, because yad poel ki yad Baal Bayis. And the Baal Bayis has a schus in the yad of the poel for anything that the poel produces. That's called maisi yadav. So in effect, it's equivalent to the Baal Bayis, or the malvin in this case, himself personally picking up the nechasin, or picking up the metzia, even though physically, in reality, it was the poel who picked up the metzia, but nevertheless, it's considered as if the Baal Bayis had picked up the metzia. Now we're going to soon see that even if ein shliach l'dvar avera, in the case of a hired worker, he may become a shliach l'dvar avera. This whole discussion about yad Baal Bayis, yad poel ki yad Baal Bayis, reminds me of a chiddush of the Machna Frayim on a totally different topic that's not immediately germane, and that is the mitzvah of asiyas makeh. And the question is, can you hire a guy to set up a fence on a makeh, and then vicariously through the actions, the labor of the guy, you, the Jewish owner of the roof of the house, are mekayim the mitzvah of the asisa makeh kigagecha. And the Machna Frayim wants to suggest that even though there's an akum cannot be a shliach on behalf of a Jew, a shliach akum, nevertheless, in this case it would work, because since the guy was hired and he's being paid for his work, his labor to put up a fence around the roof, that's considered yad poel ki yad Baal Bayis. And it's as if the Baal Bayis himself had put up this fence. And that goes even beyond the laws of shlichus. It's a special category, and therefore the Baal Bayis was in fulfillment of his mitzvah of asiyas makeh. The Nesivis sets up two categories of kinyonim through which the poel could be koneh on behalf of the Baal Bayis. One is when the chefetz is in the yad, in the hand of the poel, and then we apply the principle of yad poel ki yad Baal Bayis. And number two, a different category, is if the chefetz was lifted mikocho shel Baal Bayis. This is the case where the Baal Bayis asked the poel, he, let's say, demanded or commanded the poel to pick up the object, the hagbah. It's as if the hagbah is mikochu shel Baal Bayis. And why is that so? Because the poel is only operating on behalf and as a result of the cause and effect relationship is the tzivui of the Baal Bayis. The Gemara now asks the following question. And this next question and answer, this Talmudic dialectic here that's coming up, is a bit complicated. I'm going to try to do the best I can, but as we say here, biravon mugval, in a limited liability. Because what we have to know is the dinim of eved and the lav that says lo yia ke'eved, that in certain cases you cannot treat a poel as an eved. That would be a violation. So the Gemara quotes a statement here of Rav, and this statement of Rav now seems to undermine the principle of Yad Yad Pol Kiyad Baal Bayis. Again, you must keep in mind that Yodo Kiyad Baal Bayis in the case of a pole is predicated on the concept of Kinyan, meaning the the Baal Bayis has a Kinyan during, again, only during this limited period of time of Schirus, a Kinyan Begufo Shel Poel. And that makes the din of poel very similar to the din of an eved. Just like we say eved gufo kanui, we're saying the poel is gufo kanui. Again, this is not the case of a kablon who was sent and hired for one specific job that was singled out, but here it is all the jobs. I say imi melachal hayom, any jobs whatsoever. Now the halacha of Yad Pol Ki Yad Baal Bayis kicks in, meaning the Yad of the Pol is considered like the Yad of the Baal Bayis. It means that the Baal Bayis has a kinyan on the Yad of the Poel. And therefore we said that just like the Baal Bayis himself could be Zocher in a Metziah, so too the Agbah of the Poel in this case is like the Agbah of the Yad of the Baal Bayis himself. And Rav seems to be saying something that's totally antithetical to that principle that we said that the Yad, that the Baal Bayis has a kinyan on the Poel, on his very goof. Because Rav says that Poel yochel lachzer bo afilu bechatzi hayom, that the Poel can decide, I've had it. You know, he does whatever work he does, the haskolas avod, he doesn't finish any job, and yet he decides he wants out. He wants to terminate his status and his responsibility to work as the Poel, the Baal Bayis. And the halacha is, says Rav, that it's within the rights of the Poel to terminate his achrayus, his chiyuv of working as a Poel for the Baal Bayis at any point, at any moment in time. Now, if we're assuming that Eved, that the Poel is like an Eved, is gufo kanui, then there should not be a possibility of chazara. However, if you take a look at Tosus Dibur Maskil Yochel, he suggests a slightly different and more complex pshat in the Kash of the Gemara. The Gemara wasn't really asking from the very fundamental halach, the ability of the Poel to be chozer, but to terminate his chayvus, his role as a Poel. That per se would be understood. In other words, you would just simply say that, okay, there is a kinyan begufo as long as the Poel is a Poel. You know, he hasn't been Chozerbo. Once he's Chozerbo, he could be Chozerbo. That doesn't in any way mean that during the time period that before he was Chozerbo, or if he's not Chozerbo, that he's not Gufo Kanui. So what is the Gemara's Kashi about Chazorah? And Tosis quotes a very, very specific and detailed halacha with regard to the power and the ability, the legal rights of the Poel to be chozer bo. Now, in order to understand that the extent of the din of chazara and the rights granted to the Poel, we have to understand the following: that the market price for a Poel who's doing avoda is something that fluctuates on a constant basis. In other words, how much do you pay a Poel? Well, at one moment in time, the market value for a Poel to do whatever work he's doing is X. At another moment, it's Y. This fluctuation means, obviously, that the price that you pay for the schar pu'ula, the schar malacha of the Poel, is something that goes up and goes down. And if you want to talk about the market value at the time that this Poel was hired, it could be that at that point the wages, market value of wages, were low, and after a certain period of time, whether it's an hour, a day, or a week, or a month, or more, the price, the market price for a Poel goes up in value. Now, if the Poel is chozer bo, the Baal Bayis now is going to suffer a loss, because since there was an inflation and appreciation in the price of malacha, now the original price, which was a low price, is no longer relevant. Once the Poel was chozer bo, the Baal Bayis is out on a lurch. He's going to have to now hire other Poelim to replace the first Poel, and in the meantime, the price tag for the Poel has appreciated, so he's going to take that loss in the increment. Now, in the case of a Kablon, which we spoke about before, that's the Kablon of Nakeshimi Ayom and so forth, where he's doing a job, there the halacha is that we have to offset any loss of the Baal Bayis who hired this Kablon if the price tag for this kablonus goes up. But in the case of a poel, since we're going to allow the poel and guarantee his rights to be chozer bo, included in that guarantee of shaloyeh bo ke'eved, it means that he, the poel, is not like an eved that has an absolute ongoing 24/7 continuous till the day he dies obligation to work. And in the case of a poel, we're going to be a little bit more, you know, loose about it. Give him, you know, loosen the neck, the noose around his neck. And the halacha states that if, as a result of the chazara of the poel, the Baal Bais can say, I want to cut you down in terms of your wages, because now it's going to cost me a heck of a lot more to hire a replacement for you. To cut down the wages of a poel would be tantamount to treating the poel as an eved, and would be an Israel violation of lo yia ke'eved, of treating the poel as an eved. If this be the case, as Tosus points out, we begin to appreciate the Gemara's question from Rav. Meaning, how can you reconcile the fact that Rav Nachman just told us that Yad Poel Ki Yad Baal Bais, meaning that the poel is gufo konui, that the Baal Bais has a kinyan in the gufo shell poel, which means that basically the poel is an eved, gufo konui like an eved, that's your paradigm of gufo konui. Then how can you tell me that Yochel Lachzer Bo and the Iser of Lo Yil Lo Ke'eved that differentiates this poel from an eved goes into effect? The Baal Bais, as a result of the Chazara, the termination of the work agreement on the part of the poel is going to cause a definite loss, a financial loss to the Baal Bais, insofar as to replace this poel is going to cost him more. So then, basically, what you're saying is that the poel is a hired worker, and he's not to be treated as an eved, and it's not gufo konui. Horaya, because if it was gufo konui, then the status of a poel would be similar to that of an eved, and although I grant you that he can be chozerbo, but to be chozerbo and cause thereof a loss to the Baal Bais, that can only be justified within the context of lo yeh lo kevin, and the fact that the poel is not konui to the eved. The problem with this Tosus is that it does such a great job in explaining the cash that we're not exactly sure what Rav Nachman's self-defense teretz was. Omar Le, Rav Nachman responded, let's read it inside, called Kama Delo Hadar Bey, as long as the poel has not been chozer bo, ki yad Baal Bais hu. Ah, now what we're saying is, says Rav Nachman, that the poel is guaranteed the rights to be chozer bo, and in doing so, we are separating, we are contrasting the poel from an eved. He's not an eved. An eved can't be, you know, can't be chozer bo. He's got to work until the day he dies, so to speak. And that's because gufo konui lo legamre. And what we're saying here is that during the period of schirus of poel, until the poel was chozer bo, Rav Nachman says, enoch inami, the kinyan that the Baal Bais has in the poel is a kinyan gomur, and it really works like an eved. But yet, once there is chazara, the dinim that now evolve, that are generated by this chazara, are coming under the law of lo yekalov, and that's what the Gemara says, taimach rinu dechsiv ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim avodim v'lo avodim l'avodim. Which means that we have a special derivation to establish not only that the poel has the right to be chozer bo, even though again his kinyan was a full-fledged kinyan gomur as far as gufo konui lo before the chazar, but we're now under the law of lo yia kevid, which applies to a poel, and that's how we have to treat him, make sure we don't treat him like an eved. That guarantees not only the rights of the poel to be chozer bo, in contrast to an eved, but beyond that, to be chozer in a way that you cannot penalize him because he causes some sort of loss to the Baal Bais as a result of the appreciation and the value of the poel. However, what we're going to see now is that although We have defended the sheet of Rav Nachman Rav Chisda to the effect that Hamagdir and Tzil Chaver Lo Kana Chaver. Now we want to mention another Shita. Shita Cholekes Omer Rav Chia Bar Abba Omer Rav Yochra Hamagdir and Tzil Chaver Kana Chaver Rim Tomar. So wait a minute. So what happened to Tofis Malchov and Mokr Shechav L'Acherim? Why doesn't that apply in the case of Magbiyah Metzil L'Chavero as Rav Nachman Rav Chisda opined? And here we have to introduce a new halacha of, a new principle of Migu, the Zochi L'Nafshi, Zochi Nami L'Chavre. In the case of the Tofis, Levi, who's a third party, has nothing to do with Alva. He doesn't have shaychus to grab on to the nechassim of the Lova. In fact, the Lova is yelling and screaming, "Get out of here!" La paltvam di diad. In contrast, in the case of Magbiyah Metzia, the rights to be zochelis Metzia are universal, and the Magbiyah, who's lifting up the Metzia in order that someone else should acquire ownership on it, he himself, that Magbiyah, could be zocha. He also is granted the rights to be zocha in this mitzvah. That makes him shaychus to the dovar. And as a result of the fact that he can be zocha for himself, he can be zocha for his friend. And that's what Tosus points out here, Dibra Maskel on Rabbi Yochanan. So it's not that Rabbi Yochanan denies the principle of HaTofes V'alcho Mokv Shechav L'Krem Lo Kana Chaver, but he says, when we have Migud Zochin and Nafshe, then we suspend the principle of Tofes V'alchov, etc. Now, in the case of Valchov, if the Tofes himself was a Malve, and therefore he could be Tofes for himself, he could be Zocha on behalf of another Malve, even though it's Chav L'Acharina, because of this principle of Migu. However, the Shita Mekubetzes quotes the Ramban that even Rabbi Yochanan agrees that Tofes Balchov Mokov Shechav L'Kana, even if he has a Migu Demot the Zochi L'Nafshe, meaning if he's a Malva himself. So one Malva cannot be Zoch on behalf of another Malva, even according to Rabbi Yochanan. And no one can be Zocha on behalf of anyone else. It's always got to be the Malva who's being Zocha on his own behalf. Now Rabbi Yochanan asks the obvious question on himself. The Imtomar Mishnah Seinu. After all, in that Mishnah it would seem that the person who lifted the Metziah on behalf of his friend, on behalf of the Rochev, and the Mishnah says he is not Kone, even though at the beginning of his Hagbah he had in mind that this Hagbah on behalf of the Rochev should acquire ownership over this Metziah on behalf of the Rochev, and yet his Hagbah on behalf of the Rochev is not valid, he's not Kone. And obviously the answer is, as Rashi says, Dibra Maskel Im, V'im, that Magdir Metzil Chavero Lo Kana Chavero, and that would support Rav Nachman and Rav Chisda against Rav Yochanan. So the answer is, the Omar, if we read the Mishnah carefully, what exactly did the Rochev say to the Magbir? He said to him, T'noli, V'lo Omar Zochli. He was being very clandestine about it. He was hiding the fact that this is Metziah. He was saying to him, retrieve it for me. Not that you should be doing a Maisa Kinyan and acquiring it on my behalf so that your Kinyan is going to operate for me on my behalf. But rather he says to him, T'noli. In this language of T'noli, he never appointed the Zocha, the Magbia, as someone who would work on his behalf. What he's saying to him is, bring it to me. You know, he's afraid to tell him, be zocher to be on my behalf. He's making it out to be as if, you know, the object is his, just retrieve it for me. Like you tell a dog to retrieve something for its balabais, for its owner. That's what Tenei means. Therefore, when his friend, the Magbia, lifts up the Metzia on behalf of what? Even if he does so on behalf of the Magbia, nevertheless, on behalf of the Rochev, I mean, nevertheless, lo zocher bar Rochev. And now the Magbi himself can decide, I changed my mind, I want it for myself. Now, you could ask the following question. This is the question of the Rajba. Af shalo aso shliach lizkos bab miyad, madulo yizkalo We have a principle called Zachar Liyodim Shlo Befanav. And even if the Rochev messed up over here because he did not explicitly appoint the Magbia to operate on his behalf as his Shliach, but nevertheless let the Magbia operate on behalf of the Rochev automatically through, by virtue of the principle of Zachar Liyodim Shlo Befanav. So the Rashba answers that once the Rochev says to him, Tnali, then when the Magbia picks it up, his das is the das of a Shliach on behalf of his friend, and we say that he wasn't Zoch on behalf of his friend because his friend never made him a Shliach. In other words, although it's clear that Tnali is not a meaning Shliach, but in the eyes of the Magbia, he understood, says the Rashba, l'das shlichuso shel chaver, that he was operating as a shliach. And the answer is, then, he's not zocher because he was never appointed as a shliach. He was only asked to bring the object to the rochev so the rochev could make the kinyan. And therefore, the magbia is not a shliach. Rabbi Osu, we start the new Mishnah. Ras hamitzia v'nochal aleha uba acher v'hichzik ba zeshe hichzik ba zocher ba. So we have a rishon and a sheni. The rishon fell onto an object. We're talking about an odorless object, a mitzia. The sheni could come along and just remove the rishon from this object and be zocher ba himself, because the nefila of the rishon is on an object is not a ma'aseh kinyan at all. So that the Rishon never implemented an effective Ma'aseh Kinyan. And now, the Gemara introduces a question here about, okay, even if I grant you that there was no Ma'aseh Kinyan in the proper way on the part of the first one, but nevertheless, it was already within his Dalet Amos. Omer Reish Lakish, Mishum Abba Kohen Bardol Arba Amos Shel Adam, a radius of 4 Amos, you know, surrounding a person, you know, the person standing here, he's in the middle of a circle. That circle has a radius of Arba Amos. It's Shmona Amos al Shmona Amos, and he's in the middle. Is Konoslo, in other words, any Chafetz that's Hefker, that is in close proximity to a person, is at least Midrabbanon, there's a new Kenyan here called Dalet Amos, he's Konit. My time, why did the Rabbanon make such a new Kenyan? Why did they establish it? Again, that they have the power to do so through Efka Bez Nefka, but what motivated them? What was their goal? Is Tekinu Rabbanu de Lossil in Tsuye. The Rabbanu were concerned with the anarchy and the fights that are going to be generated when two people come and say, well, you know what, I got there first. So the Chachom establishes, you know what, they don't have to die for the object and you know, like a football with a scramble and beat each other up. What they do is, whoever comes first, even if he doesn't pick up the object, it's simply munach betoch dalet amos, it's his. And no one can come and remove him from the object. Now, l'chora, and we'll get to this later on, our Mishnah of nefila is a problem, because let's drop the nefila here, pardon the pun, and let's just talk about Dalet Amos. So why isn't the Rishon Kodeh B'Dalet Amos of? But before we get to that, we want to take a certain excursion through the laws of Peah. Rabbaye Mosif Rav Chia Bar Yosef Peah, Omer Rav Mosif Rav Yaakov Bar Idi Nezikin. Nezikin is a word that's used here to include the Bavis, and specifically the reference here is to Bav Metzia, our Mishnah. We'll get to Rav in a minute. But first, let's look at Peah. Amar Abai Mosif Rav Chia Bar Yosef Peah. The Mishnah says in the fourth parak of Peah, the Oni Notal Miktsas Peah. The Oni collected a certain amount, a volume of Peah. Vizorak Al Shar. And he takes this Peah and he throws it on the part that he hasn't yet collected, and he wants to be Zoche in everything. He's being a little bit hoggish, if you will. And the Mishnah establishes Ein Ba Klum. Now, exactly what those words "ein baklum" means is a subject of controversy. According to the Rishonim that are quoted by the Ramban and the Rashba, and Rashi is amongst them, the Rambam is even more outspoken about this in Matnas Anim Perek Beis, that there's a knas here, and we're going to penalize the Ani in this case. Not only are we going to block his ability to be Zochin more Peah, we'll even take away the Peah that he had already collected for himself. That's the extent of the knas. The Rashbi Shantzin Peah Perek Dalet is of the opinion that only the Peah upon which he was Zorik his Peah, that he doesn't have, but the Peah that he already collected, that we're going to allow him to keep. Now, I would like to backtrack a little bit and point out something else over here. We never discussed the question of Arba Amos Konos, the Takonis Chachom of Dalet Amos. Is that a Takonis specifically limited to Metzia and Hefker, to ownless objects? Or does it, and it definitely goes as far as Get, as we'll see. That's Tosfos Maskil Arba here, but what about as far as Mekach u'Memkar is concerned? Or Matana, for example. Can I give you a gift and place it down within a radius of your Dalet Amos and your Kona Midin Dalet Amos? Some Rishonim say yes, because the Rabbanan didn't want to make a chiluk and say that Dalet Amos is a kinyan lechatzon. It only works for Mekka, for Metzia and Hefka, but it doesn't work for Mecher and Matana. On the other hand, it would seem from Rashi that Dalet Amos is a kinyan specifically with regard to Hefker Metzia. Rashi's language of Konoslo, he says, Ein Acher Ashoy L'Tofso. It sounds like Rashi's discussing a case of a Metzia of something that's Hefker. In fact, I once heard from my Rebbe that Rashi seems to indicate that the way that the Kinyan Dalet Amos was established, the way it operates, the mechanics, is that everyone else is excluded, and Memela becomes yours, meaning you don't need a positive Kinyan in the case of Metzia and Hefker. You don't have to actively acquire ownership. You have to just exclude everyone else who has rights to this object. And you can do so through Dalet Amos. The Takonis of Chachamim of Dalet Amos was meant to be mafkia others, as he says, Eina Acher Ashoy L'Tofso, so Memela becomes yours automatically. But as I said, there are Rishonim, amongst them the Ramban, the Rashba, that insist that Kinyan Dalet Amos works and is effective even with regard to Matana and Mecher, and yet with a Kal V'Chomer, because you need more of a Kinyan in the case of Metzia. There's no Das Acheres Makta. In the case of Hakna, like Mecher and Matana, there the Das Acheres Makta supplies a large chunk of the Kinyan. We'll soon see in Mirtz Hashem that Rav Sheshes seems to be assuming that this Kinyan of Dalet Amos was established not just for Metzia and Get, but also for Mecher and Matana as well. Now, the Rashba wants to understand if Kinyan Dalet Amos is indeed operative in the cases of Mecher and Matana, so why in general do we need the Kinyanim of Hagbah, Mashiach, Masira, all these Kinyanim, once the Chefetz is within a radius of Dalet Amos of the Kona, he should be Kona? And the Rashba's answer is that Arba Amos Konoslo, that's only if the Kone, who wants to acquire through Dalet Amos, got there before the Chefetz. He already established his right, so to speak, he's a squatter already in these Dalet Amos, then the Chefetz came in. If the Chefetz was there, Munach, before the Kone got there, then he doesn't acquire Dalet Amos in a way that he could be Kone an object that was there beforehand. That's the Chiddush of the Rashba. In any event, as we said in Peah, when he throws something onto the Peah, or alternatively, the Mishnah gives a case of Nafalole, he falls and he throws his body onto the Peah. A third case is Paras Talisole, he throws his talis, his beged, over the Peah. In all these cases, he's trying to be Zocha and Hog as much as he can. Is Mavirno Saheimenu. His actions are irrelevant, are ineffective. And as we said before, we institute on top a knas to penalize him, and we take away from him even the payah that he already took for himself, he collected for himself. And again, the reason for this is because we want to avoid these situations where someone tries to take as much payah as he wants to the exclusion of the other aniyim. Every ani has a right to collect payah, and that's through lakita. And the Mishnah goes on and says, V'chein bi'omer shichacha. Also, this is not limited to payah, but even in the case of shichacha, if somebody tries to be kona shichacha, one ani tries through priest's talis of the fila, or he throws something on it, etc., etc., then he doesn't have a valid kinyan. Now here comes Rav Chiya's kasha. The Iyamad Arba Amishal Adam Konoslo Bechol Mokom. If the Rabbanan establish a kinyan of Dalet Amis, Niknulei Arba Amis Dilei. Who cares if the Ani has made an actual kinyan or not by taking the payer into his hands, collecting the payer? Forget about that. He's Kona way before that. As soon as he gets within a radius of Dalet Amis, he's Kona. So why does the Mishnah say Nefila and Nefila is not a valid kinyan? Forget about Nefila. Leave out Nefila. He's coded with Dalet Amis. And the Gemara answers, Hachabamayaskinon, the Mishnah's talking based the law, Omar Akne. He did not declare that he wants to be coded through Dalet Amis. So the Gemara immediately jumps on that. V'itikin Rabbanan, the Rabbanan didn't say that if he declares he wants Dalet Amis, then he's Kona. Is Kilo Omar Mayavi? Who cares? Even without his Amir, without his verbal declaration, he's Kona with Dalet Amis. The Gemara answers, but Kavan the Nafal, once he throws himself on the payah, Goli Daite, literally translation means he reveals his intention. The Benefila Nichole de Nikne, Ubekinyan Dalet Amis, Lo Nichole de Nikne. His intention is to be coded through Nefila, not through Dalet Amis. And Dalet Amis is not something that we're going to thrust it down someone's throat against his will. Arba Amis are not konoslo if he doesn't want the Dalet Amis to be koda. The Chachom established it in a way that he can avail himself and benefit through the kinyan of the Zechi of Dalet Amis, but if he doesn't want it, the Efshi B'Takonis Chachomim, we're not going to force it down his throat. And here in the case of the Nefila, he reveals his intention to be Kona through Nefila and not through Dalet Amis. That's the answer that the Gemara gives, number one. Now we're going to turn to Daf Yudam and base for another answer, and that's Rav Papa's answer. Rav Papa Amar Ki Tekinu Le Rabbanon Arba Amis. When did the Chachamim establish the Kinyan of Dalet Amis? That's Bi'alma. That's in a place that anyone could go into. That's not privately owned. But the Sod of the Baal Bayis Lo Tekinu Le Rabbanon. When the Ani goes in to collect payah from the Sod of the Baal Bayis, that's private property. That's not the alba. That's not public property. There is no takana of Dalet Amis, of Kinyan Dalet Amis in private property. And therefore, the Ani is not zochin the payah through Dalet Amis because he's standing in the sod of his friend, the privately owned sod, the Baal Bayis. The Afal Gav, the Zochile Rachmana Begavva. You might ask, but wait a minute. The Aniyim, any Ani has access, according to the Halacha, he's not a trespasser if he goes into the Sada. And the Ritva actually embellishes this Hava meaning in this Gemara, this question of the Gemara. We would certainly think that, again, even if the Rabbana were not Misaki Dalet Amis in a Sada that's privately owned, but in a Sada which has pay on it, and the Aniyim are invited to enter into the Sada and collect their payah. So as far as pay is concerned, this becomes like the alma. The sada is not knuya lahem, you know, these aniyim don't own the sada, but nevertheless, they don't have to own an area in order to be kona through Dalet Amis. They just have to have access to the area. But the Gemara says, ki zochi le rachmana, what kind of rights does the Torah bequeath and bestow on the aniyim? That's only la luchiba, to enter into the field, ulenekute peah, to collect peah, and to be zochin the peah. But lemehevi chatzero, and here the Gemara seems to be revealing the nature of the mechanics of Dal Ramas. Dal Ramas becomes a chotzer of a person. So now can I, as an ani, go into your field and establish my chotzer in your field? Your field becomes my chotzer. Lo zochi l'rachmona. To that extent, the Torah did not give him rights to set up a chotzer, and the Chachamim didn't give him rights to set up a chotzer. And it's not like the case of Simta, which we'll discuss momentarily, because in the case of Simta, anyone has rights to use the Simta for whatever purposes he wants. In this case, Dal Ramas, as a kinyan. Here, in the case of Stei Chaverim in Peah, all that we're interested in, all that we grant and license the ani is to enter in and collect his payah, but not to establish his chotzer, not to establish his Dal Ramas as his chotzer. Amar Rava, Mosif Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi Nezikin. Rabbi Yaakov is going to ask Akasha on the din of Dal Ramas from Nezikin, meaning from our Mishnah. Ros HaMetziva Nofalo Leo Boachar V'Hichzik Bo Zeshichzik Bo Zochar Bo. Our Mishnah establishes that even though the first one fell onto the Metziah, he's not Zochar. And the Sheni could come along and take it away from him. But the Iyamrit Arba Amos of Shaladam Konos Lo B'chol Mokom Niknu Arba Amos Didei. Now again, in our Mishnah, we're not necessarily talking about a stay balabayas, a privately owned area. Let's assume that we're talking about a Rishus Rabim. We're talking about the Alma, a place that anyone has access to and can use it. He can stay there and linger there and set up his chotzer. So why do we care if the first one, when he saw the Metziah, fell on the Metziah? And again, we're going to have the same logic as before, that once he falls on the Metziah, he reveals his intention. He's not interested in Dal Ramas. The Gemara answers, however, a different answer. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, this is the same answer. V'i tigur abonik ilomar mayhavi, who cares? He doesn't have to make a declaration that I hereby declare the Dal Ramas to be konos. But kevan de nofal alei, once he throws himself onto the Metziah, is goliadaiti, reveals his das, and afila nichle de nikne, ubekinya Dal Ramas lo nichle de nikne. He's not interested in a kinyan of Dal Ramas. Rav Sheshes Amar ki tekinu rabbanon besimta delo dachki rabam b'shusaram deka dachki rabam lo tekinu rabbanon. We've been assuming until Rav Sheshes that the kinyan of Dal Ramas was established by the rabbanon in a rishus rabam, in a public area that everyone has access to. Well, there are areas that are public in the sense that anyone can have access to it, but they're not the classical rishus rabam where dachki be rabam, where there are hordes of people that occupy and move around in this Rishus HaRabim. Says Rav Sheshes, in a real bona fide Rishus HaRabim, where the Rabim Holchim Sham, that's called Dachke Be Rabim, that's not a place that serves within the purview of the Takonis Kahoma as a Kenyan Dal Ramas, Lo Tekina Rabbanon. Our mission is talking about a bona fide classical Rishus HaRabim. Where does Dal Ramas work? When and where did the Chacham establish where Masakin Dal Ramas? It's only in a Simta. A Simta is classically a shvil. Let's say it's a little alleyway that goes out of Rishus Ram and connects to Rishus Ram, but it's off the beaten path, and it's not Rabbi Mahalchim Shah. Now, as far as why Rav Sheshes understands that the Rabbanu were not Masakin Dal Ramas in Rishus HaRabim D'Dochi Be'Rabim, we have here the explanation of the Me'iri. Beautiful. The Me'iri says, Kevin the Tam Takonis Chachom Mishum Merivos. What were the Chachom trying to accomplish by establishing the Kenyan of Dal Ramas? They try to avoid fights. He says that only makes sense in a place where Ein HaRabim Mitzuyim Kolkach. There's not a horde of population that pours into that area. You know, it's a rabbi where everyone's going there and people are pushing around, then everyone's going into everyone's Dal Ramas. Go figure out who has a clear-cut Dal Ramas. And there the Takoda would not achieve its goal. There's still going to be fighting. and therefore there's no takana in Erish Sarab Mamish. The Gemara assumes that our Mishnah is talking about a case of Erish Sarab Mamish of Dochi Rei Rabin. There's no takana there of Dalet Amos, and that's why we will not grant ownership to the Rishon, even though he was the first one to get close to this Mitziah. And that's Rav Sheshet's answer. You don't have to come on to the whole Shtickle Torah that, you know, he indicates to his Nefila that he's not interested in the Takana Dalet Amos. Says Rav Sheshet, cut that all out. All you need is Rish Sarab Mamish. And that itself undermines and negates the validity of Kinyan Dalet Amos. So now the Gemara asks the question, when Rish Lakish, he's a first generation Amora, when he formulated this halacha that the Rabbanu Misaki Dalet Amos, he said, B'chol Mokom. B'chol Mokom Ka'omar. The language of Rav Sheshet was that Arba Amishal Adam Tekinolo B'chol Mokom, it implying even in Rish Sarabim. This might be even a kash on Rav Papa, who says that there's no Takon Dalet Amos in a Stei Chavero, in Stei Balabayas. What about B'chol Mokom? And the Gemara answers, called Makom La Suyet Sidei Rish Hasarab. Even Rish Lakish agrees that in a Rish Hasarab Mamish or in Stei Chaver Mamish, there's no Takon of Dalet Amos. The Kol Makom here comes to emphasize Sidei Rish Hasarab. These are places that are Smukim Lekosle Rish Hasarab. They're, you know, very close to the walls of Rish Hasarab. Nobody's going to go there because, you know, it's a very tight spot. And that's where Reish Lakish wants to emphasize the Kinyan Dalet Amos is operative. Just to raise a few points, a few questions here on the side. First of all, it's not clear where Rav Chisda fits in relation to Rav Sheshet. Rav Chisda excluded Dalet Amos in Stei Balabais. What does he hold about Rish Hasarab? It's very possible that Rav Papa would insist that there is a Takana Dalet Amos in Rish Hasarab. We don't know. Another question is that if you take a look at the Mishnah Gittin in Perek Zorik Ein Ches Haisal Medes Mishnah Sarabim with Zorik Law, it seems that when the Mishnah says Zorko Law, when the Baal throws the get in her direction, she's standing in Mishnah Sarabim, it says Karav Law, if it gets close to her, it's Mugureshes. Rav interprets there in the Gemara in Gittin that refers to Dalet Amos. So we see clearly that as far as get, there's a Kinyan Dalet Amos even in Rish Hasarabim. And what we're going to have to say, says Tosfos in Gittin, is that Rish Hasarabim doesn't mean Dafka Rish Hasarabim. Don't take it seriously. It means Simta or Tzidei Rish Hasarabim that have the status of Rish Hasarabim. Now, we indicated before that perhaps Rav Sheshet, by limiting the scope of Dalet Amos to to a Simta, he might be talking even about a Kinyan Dalet Amos in Mecher et Matana. And that would support the view of the Ramban and the Rashba that Kinyan Dalet Amos certainly would work in a Mekach, in Mekach Matana, because we know that Simta is a classical place designated for a Kinyan of Mecher and Matana of Das Acheres Makach. Now at this point, the Gemara is going to quote a different member of Reish Lakish, again in the name of Abba Kohen Bargla, that has to do with Chatzer and with Dalet Amos. Om Reish Lakish, etc. Ketana, Ein Lo Chatzer, Ein Lo, Ve Ein Lo Arba Amos. A Ketana has no Chatzer if she's less than 12, and the reason for that is because she has no Shlichus. So therefore, if a get was thrown into a chatzer that was technically owned by this ketana, nevertheless, the chatzer cannot be kona on her behalf. She's not megureshes. And the same thing applies to Abba Amos, which works, as we said before, midin chatzer. Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. The Omar, and he says, yesh la chatzer v'yesh la Abba Amos. And therefore, when you throw a get into a chotzer, or Dalet Amos for that matter, of a ketano, she is megureshes. B'maiko miflagi, what are they arguing about? What's the soda plugta? Marsav Rav Yochanan holds chotzer mishum yodis raboy. The Torah says with regard to get v'nosan biyada, place the get into our hands, and any rishus that is owned, any area that's owned by a woman is called yada. And kiyechi the isla yad, we know that a ketana has a yad. In other words, gerishin of v'nosan biyada applies to a ketana just as much as it applies to a gedola. Is therefore ipso facto chatzin nami isla, because chatzin is mishum yad. Marsa Reish Lakish is of a different opinion. Chatzah Mishum Shlichus is Rabbi. The Chatzah works on behalf of its owner as a Shliach. And Kihechi the Shlichus Lesla, just like there's no Shlichus to a Ketana, is Chatzah Nami Lesla. She cannot be Kone through her Chatzah. Her Chatzah cannot operate on behalf of her Shlichus. Now, it's not 100% clear here what these two definitions are of chatzah mishum shlichus, chatzah mishum yad. The pashtus, intuitively, we would say that chatzah is a yad, and that's the way the Rambam seems to define it in Perkei Milchus Gittin, Milchus Gerishin, because a person can extend their arm in many ways, like through different parts of their body, in this case through their chatzah. The chatzah is yad. This whole concept of chatzah mishum shlichus is pretty odd. Perhaps what the Gemara means to say here in explaining the Shita of Reish Lakish is that although chatzah is a yad, but it operates, and the rules and regulations that govern this particular yad, it's a yad that's different than chatzah. It is midin yad, and it's predicated on yad, but it operates through shlichus, meaning the yad of the chatzah has to somehow relate to the bala chatzah's yad. I mean, these are two different yadayim. And that tziruf, that relationship that allows you to view the chatzah as a yad operating on behalf of the bala chatzah's yad, that itself is shlichus. And therefore, you are bound and circumscribed by the laws of shlichus. And therefore, even though it's true, says Reish Lakish, no doubt about it, the Ketana has a yad, but the Chatzar is a yad which has to operate on behalf of the Ketana, and there has to be some sort of relationship in which miyachasim, we create a yichus between the yad and the tefisas yad of the Chatzar and the Isha. That relationship, that bond, is supplied or mechanically works through the method called shlichus, and that method doesn't apply to a ketana. Just like the action of a shliach when his yad is operating on behalf of a ketana does not relate to the mishaleach, the mishalachas, the ketana, so too the action of the chatzah cannot relate to and be miyuchas to the ketana. That's Reish Lakish's point. There's a gigantic question here about Dalet Amos and Get. I mean, Dalet Amos, we said, is Takonis Chacham. The Torah doesn't recognize Dalet Amos. So how does Dalet Amos as a kinyan of the Rabbanan effectuate a Get, which is a Dindo Raisa? And the Rishonim that answer, that call him a Kaddish, is Mekadish Adai to the Rabbanan, Afkin Rabbanan L'Kiddushin Bineh, which is a Gemara in many places in Shas, in Kiddushin, in Gittin, in Ksuvis. But there's a less radical, I think, approach to this, and that Hefker Bezin Hefker means that the Torah itself recognizes the power of the Chacham, their authority to establish Bailus. And if they establish that a Dalet Amos, a radius of Dalet Amos is a Chatzah, then it's Kona Min HaTorah. And that you'll find in the Shita Mekubetzes. This touches on the famous Chakira, long essay of Rabbi Yosef Engel as to whether or not Kinyonim, or in general, dinim that were established midrabanan are effective and recognized midoraisa. Can a kinyan derabanan effectuate a kinyan doraisa? The Gemara now asks the Kasher Reish Lakish, Mika mandi omar chotzim mishum shlichus sarboy, how can you possibly maintain that position that chotzer is limited by the laws of shlichus? If there's no shlichus, there's no chotzer. Vatanya, we have a braisa. And this braisa is analyzing the pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim of Himotzei Timotzei Biyodo Agneva Mishor Ad Chavor Ad Seh Chayim Shnayim Yishalim. The Gemara says Biyodo. The pasuk says Himotzei Timotzei Biyodo. Ainli Eli Yodo. Are we to say that the ganav is only chayv if we find that he stole the object by taking it by hand? What about gago chatzero v'karpifo minayin? Let's say, for example, the animal of Shimon roams into the rishus, the corral of Reuven, and Reuven decides to steal it by locking it up. That's called ne'ilas gago, and the same thing could apply to the ilas chatzero or karpefo. Karpefo is also kind of a makom which is like which has machitzos around it that are yudfachim high, like ganos and pardesim, rechava, many different examples of karpefo. But in any event, in all these cases, the ganav locked up the animal, but he never took it into his hand, and yet he's chayv kefel. Right, Shnayim Yishalim. How do we know this? Talmud Lomar, based on the Pasuk Mimotzei Timotzei, the double language, is Mikol Makom, even if it's in his Chotzer. V'isal Kedai Techotzer Mishum Shlichus Rabbayim Kei Matzinu Shlichus Dvar Veira. We have a principle, Ein Shlichus Dvar Veira. And if Chotzer operates with the limitations of and the rules of Shlichus, then Chotzer cannot operate for a Dvera, in this case, for Gneva. Kaimalon ain't shlichus dvar avera. And that's a sugya in Masechta Kiddushin, in the second perek, Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishomim. So therefore, if there's no shlichus in the case of an avera, how can there be shlichus through chotzer in the case of Gneva, which is clearly an avera? So we have like a modus tollens here. You know, all chotzer operates mishum shlichus. Shlichus works only for dvar rishus, but not for dvar heta. Therefore, chotzer, insofar as it operates midin shlichus, cannot operate in the case of an avera. How then can we have this ribui that a ganav is chayv for chotzer? And here we have Ravina's answer. Omer Ravina, we're going to have Rav Sama's answer in just a minute. The reason for this principle that otherwise this principle that there's no shlichus varveir is because Divya Rav, Divya Talmud, you, shliach, are obligated in this mitzvah no less than the mishaleach. Aval b'chotzer, the la bar chiyuva, we never found that a chotzer, insofar as it's an inanimate object, is chayv in any mitzvah, he's not a bar chiyuva, is there mechayv sholcho, there we do apply the principle of Yesh shliach l'dvar avera, meaning the shlichus of someone who's not a bar chiyuva, which would be fascinating. For example, if you have a katan and you say them as a shliach, okay, there's no shlichus to a katan. Elameyatas, but where do we find shlichus where there's no bar chiyuva? Omer li isha v'yeved tzu v'ganvuli the la bar chiyuva ninu, because isha v'yeved don't have to pay for gneva, and that is a Mishnah Pigyasan Ra here in Masechta Bava Kama. Is Hachinami Mechayv Sholchan. Now the Ish of the Eved operating as a Shliach for Gneva on behalf of the Mishaleach would be an effective Shlichus. No, Amr Ish of the Eved Baruch Yuvin. It's not that Ish of the Eved are excluded from the Avera of Gneva, they're also included in Gneva. But Hashtamiu, Leslu Lishlume. You know, there's right now the Isha doesn't have a Yad. The Eved doesn't have a yad and ownership to pay up for the Gneva. This non is Garsha Isha Vishtachre Eved Chayom L'Shalit. But the mission established in Baba Kama Pesayin that if and when the Isha is on her own and we cut the umbilical cord, she has her own yad after she receives a get, then she has to pay for the Gneva that she was responsible for, even though at that time she was. She was incapable of paying for the Gneva, but it doesn't matter. As soon as she becomes capable, then she's chayav. And therefore, you have no right, and it's not accurate and precise to classify an Isha as a lav bar chiyuva and say that the Mishalech who sent her for this Gneva is going to be chayav through shlichus. No, she is a bar chiyuva, and Araya, she's going to have to pay for this Gneva with the full brunt of the law, as soon as she receives her get. Same thing applies to an Eved. As soon as he's Mishtachrer, now he becomes a Ben Chorin, he's going to have to pay for the Geneva that he stole when he was an Eved. He is a Bar Chiyuv even as an Eved. She is a Bar Chiyuv even as an Eved, even as a married Isha. And the Avera is a full blasted Avera for the Isha before the Get and for the Eved before the Shtar Shichur, and therefore Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera. And the Mishaleach who sent the Isha and the Eved is not Chai. Let's take now the case of a Kohen who sends a Yisrael to be Makadish a Grush on his behalf. Can that Shlichus be valid? Or do we say Ein Shlich L'Dvar Avera so far as the Mishaleach, the Kohen, is not allowed to be married to a Grush? But here we would say, according to the logic of Ravina L'Chor, that the Shliach is a La Bar Chiyuva. He's completely mufka from the isur of Grusha L'Kohen because he's Yisrael. Unless you want to apply the principle of Lifnei Lo Sita Michshol, he's abetting a crime, and that itself gives him a chelik in the Avera, and Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Rishon, Main Shlich L'Dvar Avera. But barring that svara, it would seem logical to say that in this case there would be a shliach l'dvar avera according to Ravina. Rav Sama has a different principle. Rav Sama Amar Hechi Hecham Rinon Ein Shliach l'dvar avera Hecha Di Boy Ovid Di Boy Lo Ovid. If the shliach is a bardas, you know, he could decide and make a moral decision whether he wants to do this Avera, doesn't want to do this Avera, then we say Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishom, Aval Chotzer. Chotzer is an inanimate object, obviously has no choice in the matter. The Bal Korche, against its will, Mosiv La, any chavetz that goes into the Chotzer, like for example a stolen object that's being held prisoner in the Chotzer doesn't make this decision, there's no Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, it's Mechayv Sholcho, then the Mishalech would be Chayv. My Beinayu, Iki Beinayim, number one, Kohen Diomer Leili Yisrael, Tseva Kaddish Leisha Grusha. According to Rav Sama, the second opinion, since the Yisrael has the intellectual capacity, the capability of making this decision, he boy Ovid, he boy Lo Ovid, he's not compelled to do so. He's not like the inanimate Chatzer. In such a case, the principle of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera will go into full swing, and therefore the Kohen will not be Chayav. But according to Ravina, the first understanding, since the Yisrael here is not a Bar Chiyuva, therefore the principle of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera is suspended, and Shlichus would operate, and the Kohen who sent this Yisrael would be Chayav. Inami second afkamina would be Ish. The Amar Leili Isha Akfi Li Katan. If a man sends a woman to be makif a katan, the Torah says in Parashas Kedoshim Lo Sakifu Pias Roshchem, and a woman is not included in this avera, she's like the case of Yisrael vis-a-vis a grusha for a kohen. So when she goes ahead and she's makif a katan, and L'chor, it has nothing to do with his being a katan per se, it would apply to any person, but maybe it's more, let's say, Dibra Kosta Behova, it's more logical that it would be talking about a katan. Is in, if we go with Ravina, that it all depends upon whether you're a Bar Chiyuva, she's not a Bar Chiyuva, then therefore we suspend the Ein Shlichus L'Dvar Avera, and the Shlichus would be operative, would be valid. And the Gemara says the following: Lahach lishna diomer, according to Rav Sama, who says that it all depends on kol hechdi boy avidi boy lo avid is lo machayev sholcho. Hani nami here too in the case of the Yisrael in the kiddushay grush of a kohen, or the ish in the case of takif iboy avidi boy lo avid, the bechira biyado, they can make a decision, and therefore Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera goes into effect. And Shalech is potur. Lo mechayev sholchan, but lahach lishna diyamid, according to Ravina's understanding, kolech the shliach lav bar chiyuva is mechayev sholcho. Hani nami came into lav bar chiyuva dinu mechayev sholchan. Here we would suspend the principle of ein shliach l'dvar avera because there's no bar chiyuva. Not in the case of a Yisrael is being mekadesh a grusha. Not in the case of an isha vis-a-vis Baal Takif. Again, there's no discussion here in the Gemara about the Iser of Lifnei Iver. And this is something that's going to come up in the Rishonim. The Gemara now asks a different question, though, on Reish Lakish. The Braisa, from which we learn the din of Chatzar and Get, says, Umikam Lamandi Omar, Chatzar Lav Mishum Yodis Rabbi Vasanya. The Torah says, in Parashas Ki Teisim V'Kosav L'Sefer Krisus V'Nosan B'Yoda, Ein Li Ela B'Yoda, Gaga Chatzir V'Karpif V'Minayin Tam Elom V'Nosan Mikol Mokom, that you don't have to put the get into the hands of the Ish, you can put it into a Gag, HaChatzir HaKarpif. And if you're telling me that Chatz only works Midin Shliach, so why do we need this Limud of V'Nosan Mikol Mokom to teach me that you don't have to put the get into the hands of the woman? We should be able to derive Nesinas Get L'Chatzera from the parish of Shlichus. We know that Shlichus operates in Get, and that's derived at the beginning of the second parak of Kedushin from the Pasuk Vishilcha Mikancha Isha Osa Shliach. Then why shouldn't a Chatzera work on her behalf? We know Chatzera from Shlucha. Why do we need the special Pasuk of a Nasan? And the Gemara answers, "Linyan get kuli amalo pli the chotzer mishum yodis rabbi ki pli linyan mitzia mar sovar." And here we're on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Yalfina mitzia miget to mar sovar lo yalfina mitzia miget. In other words, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we are going to establish this analogy from mitzia to get, that equation, and just like in get, the Torah was machadish, and that's undeniable, that Chatz is Mishum Yad, so too in Mitzia, Chatz is Mishum Yad. Reish Lakish, on the other hand, says, Lo Yalfina Mitzia Miget, that Dini Momen is separate and Isur is separate, and even though in Get, in Isur Veheter, in Get, a Chatzer operates Midin Yad, that's clear, that's undeniable, but in Mitzia it operates Midin Shlichus. And that's what this Sugya is all about. So according to Reish Lakish, since Chatzar is Midin Yad Lin Get, therefore Ktana cannot be Kone something through her Chatzar, even though she is Misgareshes through her Chatzar. So the Gemara is reversing its original formulation of the Shita of Reish Lakish, where Reish Lakish seemed to have said that there is no kinyan chatzer of a get for an isha. No, as far as get is concerned, get is a chatzer is nisraba miyat, and that's something that even Reish Lakish agrees to. And therefore, she, the ketana, has a yad v'nosam biyada. She also has chatzer. Where does Reish Lakish argue? That's in the case of mominus, meaning of a kinyan chotzer on behalf of ketana to be kone mamon. And again, there is a kinyan chotzer in mamon derived from the pasuk ki motze timotze biyada gneva. That, according to Reish Lakish, only establishes a kinyan chotzer in mamon for a gadol, but not for a katan or a ketana, because chatzes midin shlichus, and there's no shlichus for a katan. It's interesting that Reish Lakish's thesis, his view in the bottom line, is that whereas with regard to get, the Torah establishes that the yad ha'ish expands to include hachatzer, and hachatzer is hayad. However, chatzer in universal terms, in terms of dini momenis, doesn't operate midin yad without the restrictions of shlichus. So that yad in mamon is not viewed as an extension. I'm sorry, chotzer in the mamon is not viewed as an extension of the yad. It may be fundamentally based on yad, but we are bound by the laws, the restrictions of shlichus, because we need that relationship. It's not yad mamish; it's ki yad. And here I wanted to point out to you, as we end the shiur, that Tosfos has a long discussion here, Dimar Maskel Yalfinon on the top, about, well, it's not so long in Tosfos, but in the Achronim it's gigantic, that the whole discussion about, and the machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is about a takanas chachamim of mitzias hakatan. If a katan finds an object and he wants to take it for himself, the Rabbanan established that yesh po gezel midivrayim, and no one's allowed to take it from him. And the question is, Rabbi Yochanan insists that once the chachamim made this takana, they made a katan like a gadol, and to the same extent, he has a yad, he also has a chatzer, and then Dalanamis as well. But Reish Lakish is of the opinion that the Chachamim established a limited takana. That takana was limited to yad when the katan actually picks it up, but chatzer is only like yad, but they didn't establish it as a yad, and the chatzer is not included in the takana of Mipnei Darkei Sholem. So if you were to grab something out of the hands of the katan, that is a problem of Darkei Sholem, that's going to cause merivos. But if you grab it out of the chutz of a katan, that's not such a chashash to meriva, and therefore the Rabbanan did not extend the takan of gezel midivrayim beyond yad, in the case of a katan, to include chutzer as well. All right, we'll stop here.